Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Andy Arnott with
Amy Wiese.
And this is Seller Roundtable number 87. And we have Christina Urodymskaya. Did I hit it? Did I get it?
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Welcome, Christina. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you guys for inviting me. What a beautiful end of the year to be on your famous podcast and talk to you guys about my ventures. That's amazing. Thank you for the opportunity. I do appreciate it a lot.
Ooh, she leads with compliments. I like it. So Christina, give us a little background so people can learn who you are. Maybe where you're born, where you live now, kind of just your journey to where you are today.
So I was born in Eastern Europe in a small impoverished Eastern European country. It's called Belarus. Not too many people know about it. At the age of 21, I moved all the way to the United States. And since 21, I've been living here in California in San Diego. I have a background in linguistics and in business administration. So I started my Amazon journey around 10 years ago. And since that time, I am here in the Amazon community, building private label brands and really enjoying myself. And I think to be my path.
Oh no, Christina, I think we
for the opportunity where I am right now and
we lost you there, Christina, for about 10 seconds with the interwebs, congestion on the interwebs or your Wi-Fi, one or the other. You know, maybe just move your drink slightly to the left so your Wi-Fi signal hits your laptop a little bit better. And then we can try again. Yes, I know, right?
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
Oh, not your fault.
It's okay. There we go. It's weird because you were like perfect connection until we hit the record button, and then you
know. Yeah, of course, right?
It's just the way it works.
Murphy's Law.
So I heard perfectly that you are where you were born and what you know what you're working on. Why don't we start with what you're doing in e-commerce right now? I missed part of where you were talking about, the business side of things. I heard a little bit of your backstory, but tell us about your e-commerce journey.
Okay, so as you know, around 8-10 years ago, I started building private label brands. Right now, I'm the CEO and founder of my baby brand. It's called TerraMat. It's been with me for 8+ years. I remember you, Amy, that's how we met. I asked you to help me with some listing optimization, I think. I was the Google CEO or stuff like that. Such a long time ago. Unbelievable. And then I opened a couple more companies. The other big company that I opened last year, this year actually, not last year, still this year, it's called Pregnology. It's a capsule collection wardrobe. So we developed the idea that within $100, the female can buy 5 to 6 pieces of clothes that last her during all her pregnancy and during the postpartum period. And that's the unique idea, since no other retailers, neither brick and mortar stores or online stores, they do provide that quality closing with the affordable pricing. And all of the pieces of the closing that we manufacture, they actually are easily combinable with each other. So that's why it's called a capsule collection, and it's really, really, really affordable.
Yeah, I love the quality of the clothing of Pregnology, as well as the idea, because all of us women who have had babies, that's one of the struggles, is you need something throughout your pregnancy. And I love how you've designed clothing that stretches but still looks beautiful, that you can use from the beginning of your pregnancy when you have a little bump, all the way to the end when you just want to lay down all day long. So I think it's a wonderful idea and really cool. And then your original company, TerraMed, with your compression leggings and medical type hosiery, it's really, really great. I learned my lesson, Christina. I wore one of your pair of leggings, compression leggings, to the gym the other day, and I almost died. I was like, I will never wear compression leggings to the gym again, but they were such high quality and they were just really, really great. Very comfortable. It's just not great for the gym. So, and recently, Christina, you also got into the toy market, right?
Yes, I got into the toy market, and that's going to be one of my big focuses on 2021 as well. So we started, since I have the background, a little bit of background is pedagogics, as I said, and linguistics. So I was really into the Waldorf education and Montessori education. So understanding the main concept of learning through play, through exploring, I developed a very nice line. And we're starting to sell the products for kits that are made from very, very, very high quality wood. So one of our products, for example, to give you the idea, we are using the birch wood all the way from Ukraine. Or like, you know, just the top quality that we're able to find to be using in our product. It took around a year to develop that. And we launched two products, and two more products are on the way. It's going to arrive around 1 month or so. So yes, Panda Brothers, it's originally a European company. We registered in Netherlands. So this is a passion project. And I really enjoy how fast we've been selling on Amazon.com during holiday season. We just launched, I think, on December 7th or 4th, if I'm not mistaken. And I know that the biggest audience of you is the Amazon sellers. So just to give you the idea, if the product is good and you really put all your effort into that, so we had those 200 units, this limit that are killing me, and they were sold out within 10 days with zero PPC and zero reviews.
And exactly. You found a niche corner of the market. You had a great listing. You got that great organic ranking, and they just sold right out. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Besides the inventory limits, Christina, that are killing everyone, what has been the biggest challenge with Amazon since you've got started, and any advice that you want to give other sellers that are just starting out?
I will be honest and raw with you, and I would touch the topic that not everybody is talking about. I think financial planning is the most important thing. So we all have the idea like, okay, we're growing the businesses, we need that. Everybody who's starting, they're going to come to the point where they will be asking themselves, okay, I need work capital. I don't have enough money because I ordered this, I ordered that, my sales are growing, but still I'm spending money on PPC. So financial planning is one of the most important things that I think everybody has to consider and be very careful about. Because when it's burning, when you need money and you start looking around like for the investments, asking your family, friends, trying to get SBA loans, like all the things, you know, when the period that you need money, there is never good offers coming up. So have the idea of where the point in your business that you're going to be expanding it, and you need this money. So prepare for that. Seize the options. Don't make the rush decision that could actually financially destroy your business. And understand that marketing right now in Amazon space, it's huge, huge, huge amounts of money I needed to launch. I'm not talking about the brands that I'm we're launching brands like with all the infographics, with social media. That's another story. But even with one single product, you need a lot of money. This is the budget that needs to be carefully examined and carefully prepared, because we never know, and you never know when the person will need this money. So I think financial planning and the idea of future of your business or the product of your brand and how much money you're willing to invest or how much money you will be able to invest, that's the most important thing. And that is
what you're saying is instead of just thinking about, okay, I got to get this product out the door, we all need to think about where do we want to go? Because if we don't know where we're going, we can't get there, right? There's no path. We're just spinning our wheels. So we want to think about, okay, yes, I'm investing. And Andy talks about this all the time. Whenever we're talking about launch, we tell people like you need to be willing to break even or maybe even lose a little money during your launches, because that is your foundation. That's your establishing your presence in the marketplace. So you have to budget for that. And I think you're right, Christina, where people are getting into Amazon with this mindset of, oh, I need money right now. I'm going to just invest in this product. And it's more of a long game. It's more about what are you building that later on is going to be worth, you know, 10X or, you know, whatever you can sell it for, right? So I love that advice. I think it's so, so important. I always say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And it's just important to think about your business as a whole and really think about, okay, where am I now? What is needed right now for startup, but then where am I going and what's going to be needed along the way and how can I prepare myself for that? Love that advice. So you talked about, you know, you've gone through this product development process so many times, Christina. We've met in China. You've moved your factories to Taiwan from China. I mean, now you're in the Ukraine getting Birchwood. I mean, you're all over the world. You're not afraid to source from anywhere. You're not afraid to figure it out. I love a girl who can figure it out. That's why we get along so well, right? But what is your product development process? So give some tips on how you select products and how you find products and how you think through that process.
So the first thing that everybody who is thinking about the launching a product or the brand or the product line, doesn't matter, is you have to understand that right now, nowadays, no one invents the bicycle. Everything pretty much already exists. So what you can do is just modify that, make it more suitable for the needs of the current situation, make the offer a little bit diverse from the other offers, better pricing, better quality. It doesn't mean that it has to be like very, very, very different from what is on the market right now, but something that will make your product or your service stand out from all of the competition, that makes people interested in you. So that's the main thing that you have to think about while you just start to look for the product. When it comes to the sourcing, the exact sourcing, I think there are many. You have the amazing webinars. You have the, like, well, when it comes to sourcing and the product development, I think you have like the exact book by book. The people can listen to you and there is nothing else needed. But right now, since we have this tough relationships with China and we don't know, none of us can say what's going on in the next couple years. So I honestly don't know. No one knows. So when it comes to sourcing, always try to, if you already have the company and you're working with them, always try to find the plan B solution. So there is Taiwan, there is Vietnam, there is many other Asian countries that can produce the same product. If you go a little bit further, you can see there is Middle East that no one actually looked at, but they can do some good stuff like Turkey. Also, don't forget about the Eastern Europe. There are plenty of factories and plenty of suppliers in Eastern Europe. I know right now when I started to work with Ukraine, it turns out to be the printing services in Ukraine could be even cheaper than in China. So many things, and just don't get your eyes closed like, you know, this horse. Open it up, see the opportunities. Always, I loved your saying when once you said to me, always come to any open door that welcomes you, that there is an opportunity to enter, and don't say no. Always try it out. That doesn't cost anything. And at the end of the game, those people who are not scared to try, who are not scared to spend some more time researching, some more time working on the opportunity and seeing if there is something there, they're always the winners. So that's my advice when it comes to sourcing. Even if you already have the factory, everything looks nice, everything is perfect, and you're already not even doing quality control, or like you already rely on them that much, that doesn't guarantee that it's going to be forever. As we are in business, this is the cost of business, and everything can happen. We're not insured. And the most successful people in a business, they never like have like 100% ensuring that everything is fine and everything will be going as smoothly as it is right now. So yeah, just having the opportunities, having the options, and be able to look around, to go to the trade shows, see what's going on when the world opens up.
I love how you're being proactive there, because a lot of people will wait until something happens in China and then go, oh crap, I have to move my production to a different country or a different place. So being proactive like that puts you so ahead of the game. It's same thing with Q4 when people were complaining about storage, right? All the people that had the 3PL set up and had tested it, like we told them to do in like September, those are the ones that really, you know, had a leg up on everybody, because once you see the trend, once you can see, you know, there's always these little signs, and like you said, who knows what's going to happen? It may not be a big deal, and you know, business as usual in China. But why not hedge against that if, you know, if the costs are, you know, comparable, or maybe in the process of doing this, you might even find a better deal, or, you know, better quality for the same price, or, you know, quicker production, or you can maybe even find it in the US, or, you know, who knows. But, you know, I love how you're being proactive there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's so important just to not be afraid. You don't lose. I love what you said. You don't lose anything by doing the research, and yeah, you lose time, but think of all you have to gain. You know, you don't lose anything by just asking a question, searching it up on the internet, giving somebody a call, making connections. The network is so, so important. And I know you utilize that so well, Christina. You bring people together and you meet people, and you know, you just like, I know if I need a guy for something, I can come to you. And you say, I know somebody who can do that. But you're the same way with me. You always come to me and you're like, hey, do you know somebody that'll do this? And we leverage the network, and that's so, so important. So if you're looking to source from India, or you're looking to source from Taiwan, put it out there. Maybe somebody knows, you know, something about that. So the next question I have for you, Christina, is scaling. So we talked about financial planning, but so many people, you have successfully scaled your businesses, your brands, but how did you do that? And what's your advice for others on scaling?
You know what, when it comes to the scaling, you need to understand what is the ultimate goal of any business. So some people want to scale to reach that XXX numbers, that many commas in their revenues. Some people want to scale to the point that they're gonna sell. Some people want to scale to make sure they're going to be better than their competitors worldwide. So there is different scenarios. For Amazon businesses right now, 80% of people, as far as I see, they want to scale the business to the point that they will be able to make a good exit, like selling to Trash or Heyday, whatever company it is. This is like, well, let's be honest, that's the majority of businesses that are on Amazon right now, what they're doing, what they're planning to do. So in order to scale the business, as I said, for Amazon sellers when it comes to Amazon sellers, the most important thing is your revenue. And you do have to show that you have the revenue, and revenue is increasing at least 20% every fiscal year. So whenever when it comes to the financial, who's going to be looking at your financial, what's going on, they need to see that the business is growing, it's not stuck. And for example, 2020 showed us that only the people who have strong business understanding that there can be some bad things happening, like you're going out of stock 3 weeks before Christmas in the biggest selling season. So in things like that, you always have to be prepared. And as I said, always have plan B. Merchant fulfilling, you don't have to be scared to make your hands dirty. And if you need to pack your shipment yourself, do the merchant fulfill, you better do that. Then when it comes to scaling on Amazon space, as I said, the revenue is number one. The number three is creating new products. New products in the same brand. If you're doing the product line and they all like comparable with each other, it's like skincare or something, or you're doing just a bunch of the products under the private label and they're not connected with each other. It's just the increase in maybe bundling them, maybe creating accessories so that can be easily changed. As I said, it's in every other business. It's just growing it, and we can grow by providing a better service, better offer, making sure that your product subscribes will be on the subscription. That affects a lot. And also try to diversify. All this year I've been trying to do a lot, looking at the Walmart, at the other platforms. Again, like everybody saying, yeah, that's fine. For me, it's not, it hasn't been something like, oh my God, it's like tripled our sales. No, Amazon still gets all the sales and everything go through the Amazon, but still like diversifying, having the idea that our products are offered here and there. So that's a good thing that you have to think about.
So this year, it sounds like that was actually our next question, was about diversifying your sales channels. And I know you've been kind of studying that now, like me, for just recently, both of us have been really getting into diversifying. And like you, Amazon makes up the bulk of my sales, but I definitely see potential outside of Amazon. And, you know, And so in terms of diversifying your sales channels, where else have you found even a little bit of success in selling?
You know what, the good Shopify actually brings me maybe 5%, 3% of total sales. And it's not bad. It's like, 8-10 orders a day. It's not bad, even though we're not running aggressive SEO, or we're not running any aggressive Google ads. It's just a little bit here, a little bit there. And I really like how the Shopify have this all new nice plugins where you can play, absolutely having zero IT knowledge or anything, you can play with them and see what you can apply to your store, and it actually worked. That's, by the way, was very surprising to me. I felt like that, oh my God, I may be like, have to be like programmer, I'm like Amy with and will be that.
No, that's Andy.
Oh my God, of course, Andy is the biggest CEO guy I've ever seen in the history. I told you at the beginning. Anyway, so Shopify was something that actually was working during 2020, since there is little things that you can play yourself, having zero knowledge. And they did some relevancy into the search, I assume, in Google. And the other thing is, what else? It's when it comes to diversifying, probably a little bit of eBay was not bad, but still, like, the main focus, I have the business mindset, you always have to hit on the place where you get the most. So yeah. When it comes, you sell, like if you sell on Amazon, don't get distracted trying to build something cool on eBay or something cool on Shopify. Spend hours and hours a day, just try to put as much as you can on something that already bring in your
Well, at the same time, also looking at diversification as an option, but don't try to put your eggs in all the baskets at once, or you're going to be too far, you know, spread out in terms of that. Like for us in brick and mortar, we're focused on one major retailer and a few smaller specialty retailers, because it's just, it would be like building out Amazon all over again. You know, we don't have the bandwidth for it. It would just be too much. So completely understand that.
Thanks for tuning in to part one of this episode. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, sellerseo.com and amazingathome.com.